assemble ourselves for a morning of worship and be enlightened as to what our young people are learning. But we need to begin with a word of prayer. Hello? Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the one who will empower us and direct us in regard to worshiping in truth. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you've given to us a mission. We love this humble assembly. We love the opportunities that you've given to us, the internet, missionaries, and the outreach to young people. And Father, we just thank you so much that this morning is possible because we have listened to the leading of the Spirit in regard to working with the young people and being sure that at least in the few days at camp, they're getting the truth. And Father, we pray this morning that everything will be to the glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, this morning is our wrap-up in the regard to the teen camp. So, it's become almost a tradition. I want to break it. We're going to sing page 281. We have a story to tell to the nations. And so, let's stand and sing all four verses, Brian? All right, all four verses. So let's stand and sing together.
To give to the nations that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love, and show us that God is love, or the darkness shall turn to dawning and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, through the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples may come to the truth of God, may come to the truth of God, for the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Okay, let's begin with some announcements. And I want to start with our beloved friend, Jim Langston. And Jeff, why don't you give us a report?
Okay, well, the last week has been a little bit of a challenge for my dad. He's had a new challenge starting last Friday, a week ago. He had an accident where he was feeling faint, sat down, lost his balance, hit his head, had to take him to the hospital. Did a couple of staples in his head. Didn't appear to be a big head injury. They released him to the hospital the next day, Saturday morning. We went over to the house Saturday night, and that was the first time that I noticed there was a mental issue, as he started kind of talking about stuff that didn't make sense. We actually took him back to the hospital Saturday night. He was in the hospital from Saturday through, Friday. Took him to the rehab center where he actually did pretty good last time. He's not doing well. In 1 week, his mental capacity has just really changed. Right now, it's hard for him to carry on a conversation. It's hard for him to make sense of anything. You can ask him some questions. He can answer some of them, but a lot of them, he's got facts confused. Mm-hmm. Now, you can see, you know, he's an analytical engineering type, so you can see his brain's churning. He feels like he's got a lot of unfinished business, because he'll mention a bunch of stuff, but all his facts are somewhat confused. So this kind of brings a new dimension into everything, because he's still weak, very weak physically, but now mentally this is a whole new challenge. And so we're going to have some tough discussions with doctors on what our next steps are, what the next phase is here, because I don't think he can go back home right now, short of it being off to the last step for us, which I don't know yet, until we have conversations with the doctors, but I'm not sure what we do next. So we're looking for that wisdom from the doctors and family decisions.
So our prayer is for wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah. For the family.
Obviously, peace and comfort for both my mom and dad.
Peace and comfort for them, wisdom for the family.
Mom can handle it real well, but it is definitely stressful for her. Of course, I don't think dad's in pain, but I hope he's not. Hope he's not, you know, suffering. I don't know if he know. I just don't know if the mental capacity is there now for him to know, you know, what shape it's in. I think occasionally his mind kicks in, but then it goes back out. So just peace and comfort.
Peace and comfort and wisdom for the family. Yes. From the doctors. Okay. All right. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of we need to be in prayer about? Yes.
My dad is going to have hip surgery tomorrow, and he had one hip replaced 10 years ago. He's having another hip replaced tomorrow. So just prayers for the doctors, prayer for my dad during the surgery.
Mary's going to have a hip replacement.
Second one.
We
just came from there this morning, actually. My dad just turned 72 yesterday, so same song. Mm-hmm. Different type. Yeah, getting the other one replaced, so this will be his right hip. So just turned 72 yesterday. We celebrated. He's excited to get a new hip in there. And he's in a lot of pain, just trying to move around. And you guys know my dad is very active. He doesn't like to sit still. Yeah. So we're praying for quick recovery and doctors to have
a surgery. We'll be in prayer. Surgery tomorrow.
Yes.
Be in prayer, please. Be in prayer.
I have Noelle Glover as a friend of mine, and just unspoken prayer request for her, please.
All right, God knows what they are. Is that okay? Yes.
Just wisdom and grace to be bold Tuesday, because I had a little fender bender. I've been without a driver's license for over five years. And I've been driving. And with my insurance rates, really high, my insurance is close to $300 a month. I mean, that's for the full coverage of the vehicle I've been buying, which I've got like $35,000 into right now. And anyway, I had a little fender bender, so there's an investigator on the case, and I got to go talk to this person, and I can't afford to get locked up right now. I've come 3.5 years, and I'm so far into this, and I got two storage facilities full of remodeling and welding tools go over, and I just, if I go to jail, I lose all that. Mm. So I don't know. I don't, you know, I believe Romans 8:28, but I can't see how it would apply to me. So,
all right.
And the officer's name, the investigator's name, is Workman, Mr. Workman.
Okay, we'll pray for wisdom for him.
Thank you.
Now, in favor for you.
Thank you very much.
Keep me posted on what happens Tuesday.
Okay.
Please.
I have to have your number.
Please let me know. I think the only people really ready to go to jail are those who want 3 squares a day. And outside of that, not many people do. And so we'll be in prayer. In prayer. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, Lila.
My friend Deborah on the list.
Deborah, okay.
Yes. She broke her ankle and she's diabetic, so she's in a bad position.
Thank you. We'll put Deborah on the list. And any other prayer requests?
The Wises are traveling.
The Wises are traveling. They're always traveling.
Yeah.
My goodness. What do they think? Summer's a vacation time?
I think so.
When do they come back? Monday.
We'll be in prayer for their travel. Any other prayer requests? Yes,
just Martha. A general prayer for all the... I have a lot of colleagues. I was actually supposed to be in New Orleans this week, so that's obviously not happening yet.
Let's be in prayer for all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believers especially, but all the people
yeah.
in the whole area. My goodness, unbelievable. How's Mom?
Fussy. The nicest thing.
She oh my God, it's a smile.
she actually got into a little argument at the bingo table. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny at the time.
At the bingo table?
Oh, my goodness. Those people, they take their bingo seriously.
Oh,
oh, my goodness.
They do.
I can't see you.
Herman, I'm thinking about having somebody on retainer. Okay, I'm serious, right?
But she sees her orthopedic surgeon on Tuesday.
Mark, let's see if we can fix a couple of the bingo games.
Oh, oh.
I,
you know.
I think you're not. I think I'm going
without her. I hear you.
Yeah, it's the other side of the family, so. But I'm serious about the retainer.
No, they do take their bingo very serious and take their checkers very serious. So I know that. Gigi wanted to be a prayer for a man, Saul, who is just died this last week, and for his family and all. So it's be a prayer for them. And people, let's continue to be in prayer for one another. I want you to remember this. The Son of God, perfect humanity, always praying. Stealing away to pray. Getting away from the crowd to pray. Prayed all night a couple of times. I've never prayed all night. I've never stayed awake all night. But he stayed awake and prayed all night. Hours before the crucifixion, the greatest prayer in the Bible was given by him. John 17. So people, if he needed to pray, how much more us? What I want you to understand is that prayer with Christ and with us is communicating with the Father. That's what you're doing. And the more that we love him, know of him, the more we should be prone. I just want to talk to you, Father. I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about that. It should be a constant relationship between you and God, the Father. The Father, Jesus Christ, and our Father. So prayer is a powerful, powerful relationship between you and God the Father by means of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, any other these? Well, I want to get on to our morning, so let's talk about offering. Now what we have to do is think about our missionaries. Fassel, I had a wonderful time talking with Fassel this last few days. Fassel, and the Risleys, people that are on the mission field, our internet here, and people, it's not too early. Camp of 2020 is coming. I'm sorry, it's coming. Babe, give us a week to breathe from the last one. Nope, no week to breathe. Let's get started. Let's get started on thinking about it, praying about it. What God is going to be doing in 2020, not politically, but in this assembly at our camp. That's important to us. We could do something about that. All we could do about politically is make a vote and pray. Camp, we can do a lot about. So we got a lot of things to do in regard to what God has given this assembly to do. And these things require finance. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Father, we thank you for the challenges you put before us. We thank you. The challenges on the mission field. The challenges on the internet. The challenges in our own assembly. The challenge with our young people. New things that you have ready to throw at us. So therefore, Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you'll continue to use these offerings in this assembly to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Show this morning of Camp Levon. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I wanted to see if I was right. I was going with Chris here, and maybe I should be glad because he probably said, "No, that isn't where it is." Okay, wonderful camp. I'm not going to talk any further. Chris Dagg, it's yours.
I'll have to tell you the story about what happened after camp, afterwards as to why we're maybe moving a little slower today, but let me grab my Bible here real quick. So the camp was fantastic. It was just an amazing week, 4 days actually with the young people, and I don't know that we had so many changes from last year with the new facility, with new timing of the year, moved things forward, and we had a smaller group of campers, but we had a huge group of staff, which that in and of itself is one of those wonderful challenges that you have to deal with, because now you're like staff. We had 52 with the seniors in high school, which we treated as staff, so 52 staff and 110 campers. So we could all like run around and put one on each arm and give them the gospel for the entire week. We didn't go there, but I think it was probably as close to it as we ever have with regards to the camp. So there was lots of challenges to go through, new facilities, trying to figure out what are we going to take, how are we going to have training, how are we going to do this, the Lord took care of all of it. I mean, he just, you know, I'd like to say he nailed it. But that's kind of what he does. It just takes us a little while to figure it out sometimes. And so this week started with some interesting challenges. We got there, so kind of give you a quick summary. Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'll tell you, and then we'll tell you what I told you. So I'm going to cover off a little bit on kind of the layout of the week, so you can kind of get a feel for what was going on. Then I want to make sure that we talk about, I've got two counselors and one of our older campers here that will tell them a little bit from their perspective. Then I want to spend a little bit of time with regards to what did we actually teach and what was going on and spiritually, because the pictures are awesome. They tell the story of the fun. They tell the story of the relationships that were built. The music was fantastic. So everything was just amazing. So I'm going to tell you those couple of things, but then we'll show some pictures at the end, and we'll sing a song together that we sang up there. But kind of the short version of the week started out in the morning. On Saturday morning, we had all the counselors come in and all of the staff. So we had 50 people in our house. Now, the camp is 15 minutes from our house out in Wiley. And we had all 50 staff that almost everybody showed up that was going to be there for the whole week. And they're piled in. I mean, we got bodies everywhere. It was just totally cool. And we just flew through all of the training and things that were going on. And then, boom, we head out to camp. Well, noon, we're not supposed to be there until they said we could get in at noon, but we can't get into any of the buildings until 3. So I'm thinking, well, what are we going to do for 3 hours? I don't know. So we get there, and next thing you know, everybody goes into helping mode and starts helping the camp get itself turned over so that we could get our facilities sooner. And I think that was the beginning of that, of Lake Levan Camp and Conference Center, our first year with these guys. I think that was the beginning of them realizing that we are in this as a partnership to serve with them. And, I mean, we cleaned up the worship center, the conference center. They're just standing around looking at us because I've got 50 people with nothing to do. So I'm like, go clean that, go do that, let's get this, let's move this. And next thing you know, there are bodies running all over the camp, helping the staff of the camp. And that was the beginning of what I would consider an amazing witness for what we do here and how we do things here with regards to service and serving each other. So I'm not going to get into all the details and let these guys tell some of the specific fun things that were going on. But one of the challenges that we ran into is Saturday night at about, what time was that? I guess it was about 6:30 or so. Storms were happening around here, lightning strikes, and boom, power's out. Well, we have, our conference center is designed with lights and flash, and, you know, we could walk in there, and we got a tech guy that's Nick Forrest, who does great stuff, and he's all ready to put the lights up, and we're going to jam, and our first worship was going to be in this new conference center, and bam, gone. So we headed out to the waterfront and played acoustic music, and the kids were all around, and we did the teaching out there, and it was phenomenal. It was absolutely awesome. There's literally, I don't know if we have the picture, I don't know if you can show it. If you guys are going to laugh about all the things I'm saying this whole time, come on, fellas, give me a little bit of a break. But can you guys show, do you have the picture, Ben? Can you show the sunset picture? Lord, we'll show it to you anyway. So we're doing this. The teaching is going on, and we're just looking across the lake, and it set the tone for the whole week. I thought it did. It wasn't the teaching. It was the worship, and we're out in front of the lake, and the breeze is blowing through, and it's hot, but the kids were just amazing. They were engaged. They were paying attention to what's going on, and it was one of those things where Dalton actually pointed this out, because more things went on the next day. Well, let me get there first. So music worship's happening, and then we do the first night's teaching, and then you turn around and you look over in the western sky, and it's just lit up with a sunset that would just blow your mind. It was pink and orange and red, and it was just, wow, it was phenomenal. And to me, that was one of those things that God said, hey, I got it. Let's not worry about the lights and the show and the tech and let's just roll and let's go. And so that night, had some fun there, did some great things. Next morning we get up, and at 6:45, power goes out again. So from 6:45 a.m. on Sunday, and I don't know if you guys remember last Sunday, it was about 99 degrees, I think is what the high was that day, and it was hot. I mean, it was nonstop in the sun. It's beating down on us, and the power didn't come back up until 5 o'clock that night. And so what happened the first 4 hours we were in it? Just, we were praying the first 4 hours. We did a lot of praying because the power went out, and what happened, and it was amazing that Brian Wise, a lot of the jobs changed this year because the facilities, we don't have to do a lot of the same things we used to have to do. And so Brian kind of stepped in, and he's got connections with Encore, and he's telling us what's going on, and he's talking to their execs, and it's cool to have somebody who can talk to the execs of a power company when the power goes out. And so they ended up getting it back on at 5 o'clock, but I was talking about a God thing. I'm sitting there talking to Gary, who's the director of the camp, and this camp runs on a shoestring budget because he's been there for about two years now, and the month of May, he pays out of his own pocket. They're out of money. The last month in May, he's writing checks out of his 401k to keep the people paid and everything open, because he's got a 5-year plan, and he's getting to a place where, okay, this thing's actually going to turn, be break even to where it's sustainable. Well, he comes up to me, and he'd been talking to Brian, and I'm walking through the grass out there, and it's just smoking hot, and it's about 4 o'clock, and he's getting ready to call in air conditioning units and portable generators. So he's got these people on call to bring this in, because there's no way we're going to be able to stay in the cabins overnight if the air conditioning goes out. I mean, it stays out. It was just too hot. And so he was talking to me. He said, "Have you heard from Brian?" And he said, he was telling me the story about the money that he pays out of pocket and all this. And he said, anything that we do that's out of the budget, that's, kind of on the edge, is straight out of his pocket. Well, he had just called the emergency folks to get all this stuff set up, and it was about a $6,000 bill that he was going to have to pay in order to get all this stuff moved over and set up. And he wasn't charging us. It's not our facility to own. And so Brian calls literally at the minute I'm talking to him, and he's getting ready to make the call to have all of this stuff shipped over. And Brian calls me, and I'm talking to him, and he says, "Hey, the power will be back on at 5 o'clock. And so this is 4 o'clock or so. And we're like, "Are you sure? Because these guys got to move all this stuff." He said, "I'm sure. They told me it's all under control. By 5 o'clock, unless there's any major problems, it should be up." 5 o'clock rolls around. 5:15 rolls around, and power comes back on. And so it was really cool. All right, that's not the right word. It was really interesting that we go into music worship that night. And we did move it back inside because it was 5:15, 5:30, we're having music worship. It is hot. And Dalton, who, by the way, what an amazing connection this young, what a gift this man, young man has with regards to connecting with these kids in music worship. But he also got a chance to teach this year, and it was great. He was fantastic, and you could just tell he was filled with the Spirit. He was very focused on making sure that the Holy Spirit was teaching through him. But he gets up and the music worship, and he says, and this is one for all of us, and the reason I want to tell you this, is he stands up and he says, "Hey, we've heard a lot of rumblings about wanting to go back to TYC, which was the previous camp facility that we were at. And we had been hearing people saying, hey, oh man, I missed TYC, you remember this, and they had this, and then the power goes out, we're out all day, and we would have been outside all day at TYC anyway." But everybody's, not everybody, but there's enough complaining going on. "Oh, I missed this and this change," and the power comes back on. And Dalton walks in there, and he's just giggling. I mean, he's just giggling about this whole thing. And he says, "Hey, do you guys remember when we do music worship at Texoma Youth Camp? Remember how many different things we tried to do to cool down the pavilion? Because the pavilion is outside at TYC. And now we're sitting in this worship center where the air conditioning is blowing on us. Big fans are blowing across us. We're all like, ah, this is awesome." And he said, and he's just giggling about the fact that we're all, that there's so much complaining wanting to go back to TYC, but yet we're sitting in this beautiful air conditioned facility. And yes, the power had been out for a while. He said, "I think God wanted to remind us about what TYC was like, so that when the power came back on, when we're sitting in here, we knew that this was moving the direction that God wants us to go, and that He's got us control." And he used the analogy of the Israelites in the desert. He goes, How many times did the Israelites run around the desert, complain to God about, take me back to Egypt, you're going to kill me out here? And he just starts laughing. He goes, man, aren't we a bunch of Israelites? And it's so true. Well, I think there's no question in my mind that God had a plan to get us all over that change curve. And I think the power being out and the hardship of going through that, by the end of the week, I think across the board. I'm sure there's some folks that are still holding on. But by the end of the week, we heard so many positive comments about the change to the new facility and the kids had adapted. And they it's different. It's very different. But it was amazing. It was fantastic. So, I would like, if you guys don't mind for a second, I'd like Tyrus and Ben and Nick to come on up here. This is the Tyrus and Ben were counselors, and Nick is one of our oldest camper groups up there. So would you guys mind telling the group a little bit? Two questions. One, what was your favorite thing about camp? What did you really like? And Tyrus, I'll let you go last because I told these two this morning what I was going to ask them, so I'll let you go last so you have a minute to think about it. And then the second thing is what did you really take away from camp this year that's going to hang with you? All right, can you guys do that? So this year, it was my first year being staff at camp, and Tyrus and I were co-counselors for ninth grade boys. They were going into ninth grade. If that doesn't tell you anything, some of these stories will. And I was also their small group teacher, so I was teaching. I was leading Bible study for them at one point in the day. And I know most of y'all have talked to 13-year-olds. It's like talking to a brick wall, and that's kind of how teaching them was. They weren't very responsive, but it was really good. The guys were. Tyrus and I had talked about it a lot coming into camp, and there were really three big concerns we had for camp this year. The first one was we had these guys last year as junior counselors, and there were a lot of problems that went on with this group of boys. The second concern we had was going to a new camp, being at a new camp, and people might not like it, or people might want to go back, or it might be like a wasted year at camp, you know. And then our third one was, what was it? Shoot, I just had it. Hold on. Oh, our third one was being at, like, a camp where the staff was directly involved with what we were doing. And as we went through this week, we started off with these concerns. And then by Wednesday when we left, we were like, none of those were a problem this week. Like, absolutely nothing. The guys we had were fantastic. They were hilarious. We were laughing at them the whole week. They were roasting each other and messing around with us and running around having a great time. And something that we had last year was like they never wanted to be with us. They wanted to do their own thing. And something that we saw this year is we would go through our line to get food and we'd go before them. We'd go sit down somewhere and our entire cabin of seven guys would come sit right next to us. And that was really awesome just to have that connection with them and have them want to come to us and really just listen. And then the last thing. Uh-huh. I'm just talking. with having the staff there, it really was not an issue whatsoever. It actually made it easier for us. I got to see Mom and Dad. You know, they really were completely different this year. There wasn't the same amount of stress. Like, we always talk about Fassel is a big kid when he's at camp. Like, I know y'all heard stories. Fassel's like 30-something, but he's a big kid when he's at camp. Well, my dad was his other brother over here this week. He was running around. He blobbed a little girl, you know, almost ended her life. But it was just really cool to see all the different roles that we were able to take on and, like, planning activities and focusing more on what we wanted to focus on instead of all the administrative stuff. And that was just really neat to see this week, and it was so rewarding at the new camp. My favorite thing was probably getting to be counselors with Tyrus and Luke Bumpus was our other counselor, and they're like some of my best friends, and so we got to hang out all week and do everything together. And then something that I took away. It was cool. The theme we were talking about this week was all about finding our identity, or who we are, right? And so being able to really talk about real life stuff, with our cabin and with Dalton and with Pastor Maddox and with Fassel, and just, it tied in perfectly to what we did for Slam Camp this year with the reckless thing. You know, if we find our identity in Christ and make that who we are, then we're going to live recklessly. And so it was cool to see that connection and just really take that away from camp this week. Yeah, this was my 11th year at camp, I think. Something like that. Right? 10 or 11?
Did we start? Yeah,
2010.
Yeah. No, 10th. It was my
10th
year
again. He's gonna
make a good Aggie. Cues it on. Quick question. You guys are brothers?
We're brothers.
Okay. Yeah, you take after your dad. You take
after your mom. Gotcha. Talk about my favorite part of camp. My favorite part was definitely the banana boat. That was pretty fun. On the boat, we had like six people on a like inner tube thing going along. It was really fun. But like my favorite moment from the camp was really personal to me. I had a friend who we've been friends all our lives. And this year, he really like he just broke down. Like he's always hid his like emotions, and so he had some stuff going on back home, and he finally just broke down in camp this year. And it was God sent that. He allowed us to just talk, and this year we became brothers in Christ and more than just friends. I'm good. And that was just amazing. I mean, what I took from camp, my favorite part was during the small group, we talked about how we're forgiven. And that just really meant a lot to me, because this year I've been struggling a little bit with high school and just who I am, definitely with my identity. That just hearing that, like, I'm forgiven. I was with Pastor Eric, and we weren't really on topic, like what we're supposed to talk about, the criteria. We just went off topic, and we really talked about our own thing, we talked about how you don't have to be forgiven to go to heaven, but it's a big part. Like, we talked about what you need for salvation is just that faith, but you need to be, like, you don't need to be forgiven, but it's important.
Yeah. Alright, so, what was the first question? My favorite part, right?
Yeah.
Alright, so my favorite part was being a counselor and, like, getting to see the guys, like, progress from, like, how they're all, like, closed off at the beginning. And then over the week, they just really opened up, like, with each other and us. And I think, like, even at night, our devotionals, they got a little bit better. They didn't talk a whole lot, but they talked more toward the end of the week. And then my biggest takeaway was just, like, with all those concerns we had before camp, I was just, like, my takeaway was, all the worries that we have, like, they're really nothing, and, like, we're just overthinking things, and, like, we need to just let God take control, because once He did at camp, you know, like, everything went the way it was supposed to, and it was really a good week, and, like, really successful, I think, for all of us.
So, if you have your Bibles in front of you, that'd be awesome. Turn to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 2. What I'd like to do is, before I get there, there are so many folks that are in this room and some that are not here today that are involved literally year-round with this, the administrative side, the planning, the coordination, and I'm not going to name names because of the fact that I will forget somebody in the incredible things that they do. But suffice it to say that there are so many folks that are in this room and part of our congregation that just pour their hearts into so many things that they don't really get, you know, you don't get seen. I get to stand up here and, oh, Chris and Camp, and you know what? I'm maybe a mouthpiece that God uses to promote Camp, but the spiritual gifts that are given to our congregation to get this done and have it run the way that it is run is phenomenal. And it's not about I can't do it without, you know, God can do it however he wants. He doesn't need a one of us, but the fact is that he works through so many of us to get it done, and it's a blessing. It's an honor to be a part of that. So thank you to everybody who financially, prayers. I'll tell you what, we know the prayers are out there. When we're at camp, we know they're there because we only had two casualties this week, and they were both iPhones. So so honestly, I mean, we had some kids that got a little overheated, and we got them back. You know, we got them taken care of. The doc that we had that was taking care of them turned them back around, threw them in the lake, cooled them down, gave them some Gatorade, and away they went. They were okay. We had one kid that put his hand through a window, and he got a couple of scratches, and the doc puts a. Oh, why? Well, looked like a kid to me. Ben said I was like Fassel's other brother. I mean, I was literally running around going, hey, yeah, Eric's got a hold of that. Yeah, all right. So he sends me a text at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, he sends Lori a text at 1 o'clock in the morning because one of the casualties was my iPhone. So nobody could contact me. I was like, this is great. So Lori gets the text at 2 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock, whatever time it was, that somebody put their hand to when they were knocking on the window trying to get back in because they'd gotten out and they locked them out, so they're pounding on the window. Well, these are old, old buildings, and it takes very little pressure to break out the glass. So he ended up with some small cuts, but nobody got hurt. And, I mean, if that's the extent of the injuries for the week, then you know, we know that because the crazy things that were going on, we know that God had that under control. So thank you to everybody who's involved with this. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the financial support. Thank you for the administrative support, for the coordination, just we couldn't do it without everybody's involvement. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 12, Ben had mentioned that we were talking about who I am, and we were intentional, very intentional in this because the way we wrote it up there is it started out as who I am, capital I, you know, I am, you know, it's going to be I am, dot, dot, dot. And many of us went, this doesn't feel right. You know, I am, dot, dot, dot. No, the I am is the great I am. That's our Lord. And we're not going to put that on a t-shirt, run around, I am, and say, you know, it's in the Bible. Yeah, he is, if we're going to do that. So we were very intentional. Mackenzie and Dalton actually spent a lot of time trying to pull this thing together and came up with the outline of what the theme was. And it became who I am with a small I, right? And we were really deliberate in spending the time figuring out what is your identity in Christ. The crisis, one of the crises that we have in this country today, and I would say in the world, is how many people are totally lost in their identity? How many Christians are totally lost in their identity? But non-believers, especially, in tying themselves to the world. My idea, if you ask a group of young people, and I'm always saying young people because that's who we deal with, but I would guarantee you there is an epidemic of problem in this world with everybody, adults included, because where do these kids learn where their identity comes from? They watch their parents. And we tie our identity to things of this world. In the United States, what's the first question you ask somebody when you first meet them? You get their name? What do you do? Right? Oh, so what do you do? That's the first question. Our identity is tied to our job. Seriously? You can get fired tomorrow. Now what's your identity? It's a true statement. Right? Our identity is tied to where we live. Our identity is tied to how many, and when you get into the young people, and I don't know this, but I'm learning it more and more with regards to social media. Our identity is tied to how many people follow you. Our identity is tied to how many people like your last post. Our identity is tied, and it's a constant nonstop inundation. And like I say, I refer to this with the young people, but y'all, we're all guilty of it. Every single one of us. This isn't a young person epidemic. This is a people epidemic. We are finding and struggling to find something in this world to tie our identity to in order to be able to say, I am successful. Right? There are people who find success in being totally unsuccessful. They just totally don't want to have anything to do with anything. Right? And that's their version of success. And you know, you look at this group of people over here that are just reject absolutely anything. And then you've got a group of people over here who absolutely tie their identity to being almost as perfect as they can be. Both ends of the spectrum, y'all, is a disaster. Because both of them carry the same weight of the world sitting on our shoulders to try to be successful the way we define success. And what we wanted to do this week with the young people is get them to understand, and us too, because, oh, by the way, we have 45, 50 staff members, and we're all feeding, getting fed at the same time. This is not a camp that's just designed for young people. We thought it was, but God had different plans for that deal. And that's why we don't turn staff away either, right? It gets really out of whack. You got 50 staff, and you got to, no, bring them, because everybody needs to be fed. And so what we were doing this week is really getting them to understand God is your identity. Who I am is His, right? And so we went through, and this was amazing the way that everything flowed together. The first day we were talking about, just doing the introduction, and I did a little bit of an introduction on David and Goliath, and I started tying together the multiple identities of those that were involved in that story, in David and Goliath. Eliab, the brother, right? Eliab is David's older brother, who did not get picked to be appointed the king, right? David got picked, if you know the story, David got picked to be appointed the king. Eliab was his older brother. Well, when David shows up at the front, what's Eliab do? He starts maligning him, making fun of him, saying, because David's like, I'll go fight him. And his big brother, what's he do? Piles on. Just like any good big brother, he piles on, tells him an idiot, calls him a moron, tells him he's just out here to pound his own chest, and tries to dismiss him and send him away. You know what? We have a world full of people that act just like that. Then you have the Israelite army. The Israelite army cowers before this giant. There's this giant that's standing out there beating his chest, and what's the Israelite army do? An entire army, they all run from him. They're dismayed and they're terrified, and they run away from Goliath. And then you have Saul, who I'm not sure really what he was thinking at all, other than, oh man, this is not working out well, right? Then you've got Goliath. Goliath is out there beating his chest, right? He's the guy out there just beating his chest and saying, hey, look at me. This is who I am. I am the giant. There's a whole other group of people in this world that beat their chest all the time about, look at me, I am the giant. I am the goat is the term the young people use today. The greatest of all time, the goat. Right? And how many people do we watch on TV? How many celebrities do we watch on TV that where we just goat over them, for lack of a better term, right? We just goat over them. We're just like, oh my gosh, you know, LeBron James, great basketball player. He's a basketball player. Why is he the greatest of all time of anything other than he's a great basketball player? I have nothing against him. He may be a Christian. He may be a wonderful man. I have nothing. But why are we talking about him being the greatest of all time of anything other than he's a basketball player? I want to be like LeBron. So we beat our chests, right? We are Goliath. Or do you want to be like David, who walks out there and says, I am nothing. I am absolutely nothing. In fact, I'm just a shepherd boy who runs around, and when I had to go capture or get my sheep from the bear and from the lion, God took care of that. I didn't do it. Me fight a bear? I think back to Matthews, right? Mr. Matthew, Greg Matthews, that came in to talk to us about the bear. No, I'm not going to get a sheep from the, hey, bear, have a good lunch. I'm out, right? Not David. David said, God's got this. And so that's how we started this whole thing, is what's your identity? You've got to choose. Are you terrified of everything that stands in front of you? Are the guy that pounds their chest and this is who I am, I'm Goliath? Or are you terrified? You know, are you the big brother who maligns everybody? Are you the person who runs around and maligns those that will stand up for what God has for them to do? And are you David? And David, oh, by the way, David wasn't perfect. Remember the rest of the story, right? As we talk about that, he wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. So you got to make some decisions. Then we went through and we started talking about for the week. In order to know who you are in Christ, you have to know how God looks at you. And we talked about three different things. Number one, God loves you. You are loved. And Pastor Fassel talked about that for the first night. If you know you are loved, there are some of these kids, there are some of us in the world that they've never known love in their entire life. They have no idea what it is. But how would you like to be loved by God of the God of the universe, the God that created all things? And oh, by the way, He loves you through His view of you, right? Through His view of you, not your view of you. And then the next day we talked about being a child of God, and Dalton talked on being a child of God. I am loved. I am a child of God. To have the inheritance of God, to have the inheritance in being the brother of Christ, and spend eternity in God's kingdom because you've inherited it because of what Christ did. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything for it. But when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became a child of God. A child of God. And we get to claim that. And we get to stand there and say, I can claim I am loved. I can claim I am a child of God. And then the last day, Pastor Maddox came in. And I don't want to praise pastors or praise people for their abilities to do certain things. But Pastor Maddox came in and he taught these young people the concept of propitiation. You're talking about 4th, 5th, and 6th grades all the way up to 12th grade. And he taught them the concept of propitiation. I'm not going to ask anybody in here who knows what propitiation actually means and try to explain it, but I can tell you that the kids know what it means and they know how to explain it. And then he talked about propitiation. Our sins are the wrong between us and God has been propitiated because of what Christ did on the cross. And at the point where we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are forgiven. How would you like to be able to claim, I am loved? I am a child of God, and I've got to stop pounding because, Pastor Mattis, you do that, it drives me crazy. I am loved, I'm a child of God, and I am forgiven. Once you're there, you can claim your identity in Christ. When you have claimed, I am loved, I am a child of God, and I am forgiven, you have an identity, and it's not tied to the world. And so our passage this week, and then I'm going to have Lori come up and talk a little bit about our small group studies that we did. But our passage this week was Romans 12. Our main verse was Romans 12, 2. And if you have your Bible in front of you, awesome. I'll read it out. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so this whole week was about getting them to understand the transformation from being tied to the world to being a child of God is that fast. But realizing those three things, I am loved, I am a child of God, and I am forgiven, is done through the renewing of your mind, through Bible study, through prayer, through spending time with Him, through building your relationships with God. And y'all, we all need to be reminded of that. Because it's very easy for every one of us. I do it. We all do it. We tie our identity to something. When we feel like we are not good enough because we haven't done something the world has told us to do, shame on us, because God says we're good enough because we have Christ. How would you like to live your entire life knowing those things about you and claiming them every single minute of every day through the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what we're claiming when we say, God, I trust you. He said we are loved. He said we are forgiven, and He said we're His child. When we say we trust the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit, God, I trust you, that's what He's pouring into us, as well as joy, peace, goodness, kindness, self-control, right? Love. They're over there, the Divine Nine, and I can't read them very well. They were over there. Did somebody take them away? Who stole the Divine Nine? Oh, they're on the, yeah, exactly. You wonder why all the pastors who stand up here know all the Divine Nine off the top, because they're written on the wall. So you moved them, and now we're all messed up. But anyway, the point being, that's what we were teaching these young people this week. And I think it's the reason I say it's not just for the young people is because we're all sitting in there being taught. We all sit in the Bible study. It's required. Hey, you've got to go to Bible study. It doesn't matter if the next activity is totally going sideways. You've got to be a Bible study, because that's why we're there, and that's the point of being there. So with that, I've droned on for enough time, but I would love to have my beautiful bride come up and talk a little bit about the small group study that we did, that she put together. Gifts. I would love for you all to take a look at what she has put together. We'll get some extra folders.
Okay. Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. Would you guys just bow your heads with me, please? Dear Lord, we just ask that you would bless the reading of your word. Holy Spirit, please come and just let the words be your words and let us hear what you would have us to know. Please be with these kids as they return back into the world and just guide them, Lord, to glorify you and know who they are in your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So for small group, usually what we've done for the past few years at camp is we've taken small group and we've done a different account every day tied into what that daily theme was, tying into our big theme. And so this year, Chris and I were talking, so what if we take one account and we do it over 3 days looking at the three aspects of who we are in Christ? And so we prayed about that and talked about the prodigal son. So if you guys would turn to Luke 15, I'm going to read that together. Chris has talked about what each day of those themes are, so I'm not going to belabor that. I would like to read the prodigal son together. We talked about with the kids how Jesus taught in parables. And why he taught in parables, and Pastor Maddox talks about it all the time. He taught in parables to reveal, and he taught in parables to conceal. So for those who did not have the Holy Spirit and had eyes but didn't see and ears that didn't hear, they did not know what he was really trying to teach. But Jesus used those parables to teach us eternal truths that we could pass on pretty simply in the form of a story, and that's what we were teaching the kids. So Luke 15, 11 through 32. And right before Jesus taught on the prodigal son, he had just taught on the 99. You guys remember the parable of the 99 sheep that Jesus left? The shepherd that leaves the 99 to go find the one that's lost. And we wanted to make sure these kids know, wherever you are and no matter how far you go, he's going to leave the 99 and he's going to come pursue you. And those kids know that. He also taught about the 10 coins, the woman who lost one coin and spent all night looking for the coin and rejoiced when it was found. So the prodigal son, Luke 15, 11 through 32, and I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible translation. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. As he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, Look, I've been slaving many years for you, and I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So we read that with the kids, and then we talked on the first day, we talked about I am loved. And we started off talking about the Father and the story. Jesus is telling the parable, and he's showing about our Heavenly Father's love for us. And we talked about how we're all in this story somewhere. There are two sons. That if Jesus just wanted this to be about the younger son, he would have just had an only child in the story, right? But he had two brothers. He had one who didn't understand how much he was loved. asked for his inheritance up front, even before his father died, and one of our staff brought up the fact that really what he was saying to his dad was, you are dead to me, I don't need you, I just want all the stuff that I'm going to get when you die, and I'm going to take it off and use it any way I want. And it took him hitting the lowest of low, hitting the bottom, for him to realize just how much he needed his father, just how much he was loved. And willing to go back as a servant, his father was looking him from far off, you know, watching for him to come back, just how God does for us. And when he saw him, ran out to greet him and threw his arms around him. There was no guilt, there was no shame, there was no condemnation. He gave him a new position, put the robe on him, put the ring on his finger, put the sandals on his feet, and restored him into his family. And so we talked about that's what love is. And it says in the Bible that love isn't just an attribute of God. God is love, and what that means, and how the father showed love to his son. And then there's the other son. Was the other son loved as well? We talked about this with the kids. Was the older son loved as well? Did he know he was loved? Was he jealous of his brothers, the grace shown to his brother? So we talked about, you know, Jesus, so many times the Pharisees are listening to what Jesus is preaching. So when Jesus is telling this parable, he is speaking to these Pharisees who are standing off to the side, thinking how good they are. I mean, they are really good. They are earning their salvation over there. And they're watching all these sinners that Jesus is eating with, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the people no one else wants to be with. And they're not understanding. They don't deserve that. Why are you over there with them? So Jesus is using that to teach the Pharisees and all of us that might start thinking how good we are compared to those bad sinners, and showing us that, no, we are saved by his grace as well, and that we're to rejoice when others are shown the grace that we've been given too. So that was our I Am Loved. That was on Sunday. And now on Monday we went to I Am a Child of God. So you guys can see in the story we talked, what does that mean to be a child of God? And so many times on this earth, children don't experience family the way that God intended. And we hear that all the time. And there are a lot of kids, you guys, at camp that are from very, very broken families. So for them to learn about a Heavenly Father that loves them no matter what, about a family that they cannot be kicked out of, they will not be abandoned, that's there for their forever family, is an incredible, overwhelming concept for a lot of these kids, and just amazing. So we talked about that. Again, two sons, both loved dearly, both cannot, you know, be disowned. Their father's gonna keep them no matter what, and just how they respond to that position in their family. We see the older son who saw himself as a servant. Look how hard I've worked for you every day. How many Christians do that? Look how hard I've worked for you every day, Lord. And then the other son who realized what it means to have his sonship in that family. You know, I didn't realize, Father, just how much it meant to be part of your family, and now I know. So we went through that. And then our last day on Tuesday was, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And again, like we said about love, the younger son came home expecting to be a servant, asking to be a servant just so he could eat. And the father did way more than that. He didn't just show him mercy. He showed him abundant grace and restored him back into the family and gave him forgiveness that he did not deserve, and gave him more than he could ever imagine. He went from the pig slop, the pig pen, into the royal banquet room of his father's home. And that's what God does for us. So there was a lot more to it, but just kind of in summary, that's how we tied in the prodigal son to I am loved, I'm a child of God, and I am forgiven. So.
Thank you. So that was what the week looked like. It was an amazing week. We ended up on Tuesday night, we had 8 kids that chose to be baptized, and their parents, half of their parents came out, were able to come out and be a part of that. So we baptized 8 kids. So that you all know, I know we don't have a Baptist, I can't even say the word. We don't have one of those pools in here. Which is pretty funny because Pastor Maddox actually pointed that out. He got to come out and be a part of doing the baptisms as well. The baptistry should actually be out on the corner. Right, and it was out on the corner. So actually, it was in the lake, which we'll show you some pictures of. But these kids, it's pretty awesome. We have the opportunity to sit down and talk to them before, because how it works, if y'all don't know, is we don't take baptism lightly from the standpoint of, well, you want to get wet? Okay, let's come on in, you know, because... So we spend time talking with the kids. One, we make sure they're straight on the gospel and that they understand that baptism is not part of salvation. Baptism is an expression of your salvation to the world. So we spend time making sure they understand, how are you saved? We want to make sure they know. And we had a couple of kids that I have over the last couple of years where I've said, you know what, go home, spend some time with mom and dad, go to church, ask mom and dad to take you to church. If you guys don't go, start getting involved with your church. We'd love to have you here if you don't have a church. But you need to learn a little bit more before you're going to proclaim to the world that you're a follower of Christ. There's nothing wrong with saying that, but if you're going to be baptized and proclaim that to the world in that sort of celebration, I want to make sure you understand a little bit more. So we've turned a couple of the kids away to say, hey, you're not quite there yet. It's not, you know, I had this conversation with one of the staff members. They were concerned that they were taking this very lightly. And what I explained to them was, if they can tell me the truth of the gospel and they can express their desire to be a follower of Christ, and that is what their desire is, it's not mine to judge whether or not they're sincere. That's God's to judge. So if they can tell me that, but if they don't know the gospel, or they're kind of like, I'm not really sure, and they don't really understand why they're being baptized, then I have no problem saying, hey, I'm not judging you, but I think it's not time. And so we do that. And then they have to call their parents. Because one of the things, as you can see, there are 2, 3, 4, 5 kids total in this church that are at camp. We took 110 up to camp, which is an amazing outreach that God has done through this congregation. But we also want to make sure that their different parents have different ideas around how this thing should go down. And it means different things to the parents, so we don't want to create an issue between the child and the parent because they've been baptized. And I've seen it happen in other places. So we're very cognizant of that. And then if the parents want to come out, they're part of that. So six kids, two young adults got baptized this week. So that was really awesome to have the pleasure of being a part of that. So what we're going to do now is, are there any questions about any of this stuff? I'm going to have Ben come up and play some music while we're watching some video pictures, and then at the end we'll finish with a song. So I'll let Ben run that. Are there any questions or anything that y'all have on your hearts with regards to this? Yes, sir.
We're going to hear from Herman.
Today?
Today, yeah.
Come on up.
Not today.
Have your forgiveness talk.
No.
Yeah, Pastor Matty, please.
Ben. Give it to Ben.
I was just going to say, we're so blessed. This congregation is so blessed. I'm just getting all this blessing. You know, I'm just this one person, kind of single, solitary, hermit type, you know, just work every day. But coming here, it's like, man, I don't know what I've been missing. That you can stand up there and I mean, just pull for, and your wife, just in beautiful fashion, and it's really a testimony to God through the Word that is preeminent here, which is not in so many churches. Thank, praise God for Pastor Herman. Not today, though, right?
So I will ask Pastor Herman
to please, at some point in the not-too-distant future, I would love for you to teach that lesson that you taught these young people to our congregation. But to your point, and do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pastor Maddox is a faithful teacher of the Word of God that allows us to be renewed in our minds, to transform ourselves not to the world, but to our citizenship in heaven. So it is, you're absolutely right, it is a blessing. And the Lord knows that and is faithful to that as well. Any other questions or comments with regards to that? Or anything else? Awesome. Ben, will you take it away? Show us some fun. These are fun pictures. I'm not going to speak through all of them. Just make them move fast. There's a lot of pictures. We won't show them all, but we will post we'll figure out how to post a link so you guys could go look at all of them if you want to. We're going to start right here.
There you go.
It's not showing on the thing.
And then we'll close. We'll close with a song. That's all? There, that's all. No, not really.
Yeah. There's that sun today.
That's what he wanted to show.
Yeah.
Okay.
should be sound on the TV. Is there sound on the TV?
Is the sound turned off on the TV? Turn it up and see.
So, I deliver it from my enemy to all my fear and the cold. Child of God.
All right. Well, everybody, we're going to bring up a song here. You guys can sing with us, and we'd love for you all to stand and worship with us together, and then we'll close in prayer and be out. I did, while he's bringing this up before he hits play, the picture of all the guys out there with their shirts off running around throwing that weird-looking thing around. That was a cow tongue. So we, cow tongue ultimate. So we got that from our friends in Oklahoma. Apparently that's a big thing in Oklahoma. But Texas adopted it. No, we have, they have a, up in Duncan, Oklahoma, where Ray and Eric live, they have a big, all the youth groups in the area, they have a bunch of youth groups and stuff. They have a big cow tongue football tournament every year. And so we stole the idea and brought it to camp. It was quite entertaining. It was quite interesting. So a few guys got licked. It was pretty funny. So anyway, if you would, please stand with me and let's sing Who You Say I Am. It's, we probably won't go 5 minutes, but we'll do the shorter version. We'll fade it out at the end, all right?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in His love for me. Oh, His love for me.
How to control our technology. So, would you pray with me in closing? Lord, we praise You. We thank You. We worship You. You are an awesome God. Father, we thank You for this week that we had with these young people and for all the staff and all of the support that we've had from all over the place, the prayers, the financial support, just the spiritual support and the love that we get from this congregation. And Father, we pray for everybody who was there this week, everybody who has heard this message of who I am yours. We just pray, Father, that they will take it away in their hearts and in their souls, that they will pursue you. We pray over these young people that got baptized this week, that they have proclaimed to the world that they are your follower. And Father, we just ask you to guide their steps and guide their desires and their motivation to continue to pursue you. And Father, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your Son and the propitiation on the cross. Father, we thank you for who you are and everything. In Christ's name, amen.